Let us pray. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and in rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of thy Spirit, lift us, we pray thee, to thy presence, where we may be still and know that thou art God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. An important relationship exists between colleges and seminaries, and there is understandably a special kinship between denominational colleges and denominational seminaries. We are privileged today to be led in our worship by the new president of one of these schools. He is, we are especially glad to say, an alumnus of this seminary, having received the Master of Divinity degree here in 1968. Prior to that, he played varsity football for a school over in Winston-Salem, I believe the name of which is Wake Forest, which school will be having a contest this Saturday that some of us will watch with particular interest. He served as vice president of Mary Baldwin College in Stanton, Virginia for 5 years. While he was a student here, I believe, he was pastor of the Wakeminster Church, not very far away. He comes to the presidency of Gardner Webb College from the staff of Davidson College, where he served as vice president. He's a native of Monroe and the great county whose name is pronounced by some as Onion, but actually it's supposed to be Union County in North Carolina. His father was a trustee of Wingate College when it was my privilege to serve on the faculty there. A number of us have known him and loved him and regard him with great respect. He's a father of two children, Joseph Howard and Lee Hunley, and it is a great delight to welcome, to lead our worship in just a few moments, Dr. Craven Williams, president of Gardner Webb College. After our responsive reading and after the choir leads us, he will continue to lead our worship in meditation. Will you join me now as we turn to responsive selection 640? 640. And let us read responsively. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
You would not believe all the warnings I have received about speaking in chapel at Southeastern Seminary. I must say that the last several weeks, as I have been thinking about this day, coupled with the month and a half that I have been president of Gardner Webb, I have made a fantastic discovery, and it is this. The world is full of those who want to serve in an advisory capacity. I have received a great deal of advice about every day I've been in Boiling Springs, and I've received a great deal of advice about what I should do here, but no volunteers. Now, quite frankly, all of the advice that I received had its effect on me. I have spent a great deal of time during the last few days thinking about just what I would say. Obviously, the first Southeastern Seminary Chapel address for me must indeed be something profound. I must say something designed at least to change the lifestyles and patterns of half of you, at least. That would not include the faculty who are already too set in their lifestyles. Well, the more I thought about this, the more I ran ideas through my head about today and reviewed them with Beth, the more I became convinced that it really doesn't matter very much what, if anything, I say here this morning. Now, some of you have been coming to chapel at Southeastern for 3 years. I would say that very few of you who have been coming here for 3 or 2, or if this is your first year, very few of you can recall any message in any detail from anyone who ever stood behind this pulpit. Indeed, I imagine very few of you, if required to review in depth what was said here, would be able to recall little more than a few scattered phrases or fragments of ideas. Now, even had I the eloquence of John Kennedy or Howard Cosell or Leo Green, even had I the insight into life of Peter Marshall or Beretta or Garland Hendricks, even had I the flashing and dashing of the $6 Million Man or Fred Sandusky, I doubt very seriously if any of you would be able to recall this afternoon much, if anything, of what I will say here this morning. Now, as I say that, I must confess to you too that I recall very, very little from any of the messages I have ever heard during my years of chapel attendance, twice a week at that school in Winston-Salem, 3 years here, 3 years at Union Theological Seminary, and now 2 months at Gardner Webb. I can't really recall any messages in any detail that I ever heard during any of those chapel sessions. But now let me tell you what I do recall from the worship services of the past, from those many chapel programs I have attended. Rather than remembering in any detail what any speaker ever said to me, I can remember in explicit detail many of the things which I said to myself as I sat in chapel. I know full well that this sanctuary has been the scene of many genuine worship experiences. In the years to come, as you worship here, You will hear many messages of depth and insight and meaning. You will no doubt be stirred from time to time to intense thought and perhaps resulting actions when you leave here. You will have people of outstanding academic credentials behind this podium, people of training and Christian maturity, just genuine wisdom, people of real prominence in the church, people who will bring you sermons and addresses that will reflect their wisdom and their level of understanding. But I am still convinced that the most important, the most memorable words that will ever be spoken in this sanctuary have been and will continue being the words, the thoughts, the ideas which you will say to yourself as you sit here. This whole thought evolved in my mind as I indeed considered returning to Southeastern after being away for about 10 years. In a sense, I found myself thinking about the basics, kind of where it all began. And the thoughts of the basics led me to, I guess, the first biblical story that many of us learn concerning the prodigal son, no less. Now, one aspect of this prodigal son story I had totally missed until thinking along these lines, where Luke in the 15th chapter, the 17th verse, says in reference to the son whom, as you know, had been away and squandered and riotous living his inheritance, the writer says that this son, when he came to himself, and then we have a series of thoughts which he had for himself. When he came to himself, parenthesis, he said to himself, I'm going to go home. I'm going to say some things to my father. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to see what happens. Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he did it. And then marvelous things happened, as we know. What a waste of life and love this would have been had this young man not spoken to himself. What a tragedy it would have been had he not listened to himself. This son who was lost was not found by anyone else. He found himself. After experiencing the hardships of life, maturing, coming to an appreciation for the blessings he left behind him, he said some things to himself. No one directed this process. Modern psychiatry, pastoral counseling, I think have recognized the importance of the counselee talking to himself, and the counselor merely listening and encouraging the narrative. Most counseling sessions are concluded when the client solves his own problems merely in the presence of the counselor and after paying his $50 fee. God has a way of talking to us. Sometimes we don't recognize it as being God's voice at all. It often sounds just like our own voice. Some people call it conscience, and it is. Some people call it intuition, and it is. Some people call it daydreaming, and surely it is. Some few people may call it the will or the voice of God, and it most definitely is. I've been at Gardner Webb College for a month and a half. I doubt very seriously regardless of how long I'm there, if I will ever say anything from the pulpit of their chapel which will ever change the lives of any of those students. I doubt that I will ever say anything new and startling, but I hope and pray that at some point during that time, those students may say something to themselves very important. Now, Dr. Carol Trotter taught me that every sermon had to have a point, an ultimate purpose. The ultimate point of this chapel talk is not to encourage you to daydream during chapel. I am not trying to make the task of the chapel speakers that much more difficult. On the contrary, I would love very much to flatter myself by thinking that I could in some way encourage you to be more attentive. But what I really want to leave is the idea that one of the greatest values that this period of time has is the opportunity it has for you to say something to yourself. I think I know something of the hectic schedule which students and faculty alike maintain at this seminary. Very few of you have any time in your very busy week to just sit and be still and think. I would certainly hope that this chapel period could provide for you just such an opportunity to be alert for your thoughts, because you just may be hearing the very voice of God. The prophet Elijah was one of the most profound forces of God of ancient times. The prophet Elijah was also one of the greatest athletes in all of history. You will recall, after his encounter with the 450 prophets of Baal and his bloody massacre of these same Baal prophets, Elijah was listed by Queen Jezebel as the number one enemy of the nation. In fear for his life, Elijah ran for 40 days and 40 nights without stopping, a cross-country marathon endurance record which stands today in the annals of sports. He ran this hard and this long because he was chicken. He was scared to death. He was searching for God. He needed God. And as he ran, he was looking everywhere for God. The evil of his day, embodied in the 450 prophets of Baal and Queen Jezebel, the evil of his day was thrown squarely before him. The evil of our day is thrown squarely before us, and many of us look desperately for a sign of God. But the sign is not always so evident, is it? Even in the chapel services, we can so often fill our programs with so much activity that there just isn't time to listen. Oh, God may well speak to us through the hymns, through the scripture readings. He may so very well speak to us through the anthem of the ensemble. And who knows? God may speak through a chapel speaker someday. But He most surely will speak to you in a still small voice that can be heard only in the quietness of your thoughts. As in the case of the prodigal son, as in the case of the prophet Elijah. I hope that you, like they, will be alert and listening for what God may be saying. Can you pray with me now? Dear Father God, in the earthquakes and wind and fires about us, enable us to sensitively hear the voice which speaks to us, either in a thunderous declaration or in the quietness of our own thoughts. Amen.